Super. Well, thanks for having me back. Great to see you all. My favourite TV show of the last few years, I don't know if you've seen it, is called The Capture. It's on the BBC. Has anyone here seen this TV show? Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Two series come out so far, I think. It's a spy thriller all about deepfakes. And what if people in power could use deepfakes? So deepfakes is Photoshop technology that's so good you can delete someone from a CCTV record if it was convenient that they weren't seen to be there. Or you could add someone in if it was convenient that they were seen somewhere to frame them. Or you could even put a politician on live TV and then manipulate the footage to get them to say whatever you want. It makes a really gripping TV, entertaining, I recommend it. I think the reason it's so gripping is it's because it plays the deep fear within us that the truth is being hidden from us. The truth is being manipulated in front of us so that other people can play power games for their own benefits. We want the truth. We don't want to be left in the dark or taken for a ride. Actually, that's why Boris Johnson resigned as Prime Minister for, amongst other things, lying, or at least a perceived lack of truthfulness, you could say. In what was coined at the time the cost of lying crisis. And then in social media, questions are being asked on Twitter and things like this. Is someone's foot on the dial, or have they been in the past suppressing some news story to try and manipulate votes or elections? Of course, that fear has been there for years of press barons in the media. And regardless or not, if we do think that's the case, it's a very scary question, because we want the truth and we don't want to be left in the dark or played for a fool. So let me ask you this lunchtime, where will you look to for truth this year? And what I mean by that is truthful answers to important questions. Who am I? What's my identity? How do I deal with the weight of expectations, that pressure to perform, to make the most of this life? Questions of significance, like, am I a somebody? Questions about control and the future. Am I in control of my future? Or am I just carried along by the tide? We need truthful answers to important questions of our identity, our significance, our worth. And it's hard, isn't it, to know sometimes? Because I guess the answer our culture probably most often tells us is that truth comes from inside you. My truth. You know, look inside yourself and be true to yourself. So that is, find an identity to your life that's personal to you. Look inside yourself to be at peace about your significance. Find hope in the hero inside yourself who's just waiting to break free and perform. It kind of sounds sensible, but all too quickly, if you're anything like me, we get tied up in knots. Because when I'm lying awake at 3 a.m. and I look inside myself, and then the last thing I feel is a sense of peace about what's coming up at work. How am I supposed to know what my identity in life is? I've got to choose one for myself? It's such a big question. It's easier to just switch Netflix on and not think about it. And I like to think there is a hero inside me that's waiting to break free and perform. But the bit of self-knowledge, I know there's a villain inside me as well. I don't want to put my hope in him. So we want a truth to live by that's personal and that speaks to me and who I am and that's good for me. But friends, that's hard to work out on our own. And that's why Christianity is such good news, because the story is that truth entered the world. Not just in a cold or hard, empty fact, or in something that was well-meaning but empty, but in a person, Jesus Christ, the truth, entered the world. Have a look with me at the words from the Bible reading we'll have today, chapter 1, verse 14. It's from John, who is one of the eyewitnesses of Jesus' life and one of his friends. He sums up what he saw and knew of Jesus as this. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John says that he saw something glorious in Jesus, something that made his jaw drop. He says he came from God the Father, full to the brim with two things. The first was grace, undeserved kindness, and the second was truth. And there are two things about this truth of Jesus I want to share with us today for the next few minutes. Firstly, that his words are true, and secondly, that his works are true. That's 2 points with a handout for us. So firstly, Jesus' words are true. Later on in John's Gospel, Jesus said this from John 8:31, printed on our handouts. "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus says his teaching, his words, offer truth that will set you free. Life is confusing and bewildering at times, but Jesus is the one who can make sense of it because he made it. The author of life itself is the person who can speak the truth about life itself. So think for a moment about the struggle and sadness and restriction of a beached whale. We see it and we think, oh, that's not how it's meant to be. Compared to the moment when the whale's put back in the ocean, the deep ocean, to swim and live and be as it's meant to, free. Like a beached whale being put back in the ocean where it belongs, that's the kind of freedom that Jesus offers. To live life as it's meant to be lived, actually free to enjoy it to the full. And this comes from seeing the world through the lens of Jesus' words. So Jesus' words are his teaching, and they're found, obviously, in the Bible. And to know Jesus as the truth is to take the Bible as the glasses through which we see the world. If the Bible actually become these kind of glasses that we wear, so many important questions, the answers become clear. Who am I? My identity comes into focus. What am I for? My purpose in life becomes clear. Like, how should I live? The good habits to live by, the good rules to obey come alive for me. What really matters in life? Actually, what to set your hope on is clear. I don't have the pressure of trying to figure out all that stuff on my own. Jesus shows me. But he shows me not in a kind of cookie-cutter way which ignores us as individuals. No, actually, the true words of Jesus offer a truth that's most personal and most yours, because they come from the Maker who knows every hair on your head. The true words of Jesus offer a truth that's good for you to become the best possible you, because Jesus wants to set you free. And the goodness of the words of Jesus struck me afresh back when the Queen died. I read of what was said to her at the coronation when she was handed a Bible and she was told, "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom." And they said that because the Bible is so valuable, because the words of Jesus, they're true and they're good. And of course, I'm sure for many of us, some of the most memorable parts of the last few years was the extraordinary national mourning for the Queen. I had the chance to go and join the queue for the lying in state, although unusually not to be in the queue, but to be chaplain to the queue. Is that the most British thing ever, to have a chaplain to the queue? But I was shipped off by the Church of England to go and be a spiritual presence to people in the queue. And as I did so, walked up and down and talked to people who wanted to talk. It was really striking how diverse the queue was. There was people from all over the country there, all over from the world, who had flown in from everywhere. They were there from all sorts of different backgrounds. But when I asked them the question, "What was it that you most admired about the Queen?" Again and again, they all said, "Her character and her service." Well, what was her secret for all those years? I've got here a quote from her Christmas speech in 2014. When she said this, I won't do the accent. "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration, an anchor in my life." Jesus himself was her anchor in life because she knew the words of Jesus are true. She knew that they are the most valuable thing this world affords. So with Jesus, this is no kind of post-truth power game for his own agenda. This is our Maker showing what's good for us, showing us the truth to all our big questions in life. Jesus' words are true. So let me just say, taking the time today to come to midweek in Mayfair is a very wise time of your, a very wise use of your time and your intelligence. Because each week here we explore the Bible and Jesus' words to us. Now, I know at this stage, somebody may be sitting here or listening in thinking, "Lovely idea for you, Simon, good for you, but is it just pie in the sky? Kind of a happy myth to act as a crutch on your way through life?" Well, no, it's better than that, because Jesus' works are true. Not just his words, but his works, the things he did to show us who he is, they really happened. And that's important because it means the personal truth of his words for you today, they're backed up with historical, factual truth. Here's what John said about why he wrote his account of the life of Jesus in the Bible. Later on, John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He's saying, Jesus did so many things to show us he's the Son of God. Actually, too many of him to write down in total. But what John has written down is the point of it is to show us the truth of who Jesus is. The truth of his life, of his death, of his resurrection. Jesus' works are true. What he did is historically true. And it's important to keep making that point because a survey a few years ago found that 40% of the UK population do not realise that Jesus was a real historical figure living in first century Israel. 40% don't realise that. A quarter of 18 to 35 year olds think Jesus is a fictional character. Now, leaving aside what we might think or not about the virgin birth or the resurrection, just for a moment, the important questions, but let's leave that aside for a moment. Let me just point out that Jesus' existence is beyond dispute. You will not find a credible historian who will deny the existence of Jesus. None. My favourite podcast series at the moment is The Rest is History. Got any fans of the show here? Friends of the show, I should say. Man there at the back. Two historians on it did an episode on the history of crucifixion. And here's what one of them, Tom Holland, had to say on the truth of Jesus' death. As far as I'm aware, when he said this, he wouldn't have called himself a Christian believer, as far as I'm aware. He said this. The supernatural elements don't discount the historical reality of events. In the context of antiquity, to have sources that reference this event happening, the resurrection, the crucifixion, that is, Paul's letters and detailed narrative accounts, the Gospels, let's say 40 to 60 years after the events. By the standard of ancient history, these are really good. I came to the Gospel accounts from studying the sources for the life of Muhammad. I couldn't believe how close in time they were. Do you see what he's saying? Compared to other historical events of the time, the historical sources for the life and death of Jesus, they're really good. The bloke really existed and died with the accuracy of the recordings. So it means you're not naive for taking what Jesus has to say seriously. You would be naive, though, to think he was a fictional character of history. Now, of course, we've all got to make our mind up on faith and who we think Jesus is. By the way, I hope you find there's very good evidence for him being the Son of God when you look into it. But Jesus' words, they're not just pie in the sky. Wouldn't it be nice if it was true? The personal truth that Jesus offers you is rooted in historical fact. Jesus' works are truth. So we all want the truth. Let me offer you Jesus. In Jesus, in him, here is historical truth. It's personal to you. Not just some brute facts of history, but a person. Jesus. If you will trust him, you will know the truth. And by faith, you'll be able to say with John these words. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The question I'll leave us with today as we wander back to work for the afternoon. For those big questions in life, where will you look for truth? Why not have the truth? Let me pray. Our Father, we praise you that in a confusing and bewildering world, truth has entered. We thank you for Jesus. Please, may your Spirit show us that he is the truth, that through his words we would have life and have it to the full. Amen.
Amen. Amen.